Welcome, welcome, welcome. My name is Jan Desper-Peters, host of BTST podcast, Meeting You Where You Are, where we do our very best to provide you with information that's enlightening, intriguing, and very informative. I am so excited today because we have a very special guest, the man, the myth, the legend, our CEO at BTST, Chris Simon. Welcome, Chris.
Hey, Jan. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. Chris is, I just want to say publicly, Chris, I want to thank you for making me the invitation and the offer to work with such a great group of people here at BTST. And I am enjoying the ride. I know I'm in the right place. And I'm looking forward to the wonderful, wonderful things that we're going to create together. It's almost like music. So I'm looking forward to the beautiful music that we're going to create together.
Yeah. I think that it's, well, thank you for having enough faith in us to join us, because I know you came from a really great position and was accomplishing great things and had a system in place, funding. you know what I'm saying? You had all of that already going on, and to kind of, you know, transition out of that for something that we don't have a grant for.
Right.
We don't, you know, you don't have as many support staff. Everything that we're developing is new as it relates to what you're doing. So it's a lot of fluidity in there, but it's not also, which could be, is a great thing, but for some people it could be a little scary.
Right.
Because it's like, I don't know what to do. Like, I don't know where I'm supposed to be, what I'm supposed to do. But the best thing about it is that I feel like we are just committed to being successful.
Right.
And it's no rush. It's not like, hey, we don't have grant funding, this position or this department isn't going to be there.
Right.
It's like, no, this is something that we see great opportunity in and have a great mission to be impactful in the community outside of just like the service delivery that we provide, you know?
Right.
And it's just like every great thing. It takes a while to get started, to put the system in place, develop the goals, figuring out how to reach these things. And then once we, you know, have that in place, everything will just be a speed race down to the finish line.
I agree with you. It can be a little scary. To some people, it could be a little scary. Not even when we talked originally, it was like, well, Chris, what is my job description and what is my title? And you were like, I'm not
whatever you want it to be.
I just want you to work with at BTST. I want to work with you. And I know that we're going to, you know, have great opportunities. And I believe that. And I believe that because you also are very creative. I kind of see myself when we're having our meetings as the dream maker. So you're the person who kind of has all of these great ideas, and now it's like, okay, Jan, so make it happen.
that's a blessing that I have now to have somebody like you that I can unpack these great community ideas, just ideas in general with, that to do some impactful stuff outside of mental health services, you know, and just being able to unload it and say, all right, here's what you need. Here's my vision. Here's what we want to do. Like, now let's bring it to life, you know?
Right, and, exactly.
And, you know, it's not a fast-paced track to bring it to life. It's not a thing where, you know, we'll be in trouble or it impacts our bottom line if we don't, you know? So it's a very casual thing, but I do know that somebody like what I've told would have been heard with someone like myself who has like robust dreams, having that to just be unloaded on you could be like intimidating. Could be like, whoa,
right.
Now what do we do with all of this, you know? But again, that's why I felt it was necessary to have you on our team, because, you know, your leadership skills, your management, you know, like with Jada is always with me. I could be creative, and then we have some person that could balance that and just implement that creativity in a very, you know, could shed all the unrealistic stuff from it and really get down to the nuts and bolts of it. And I feel like we will be able to do that, given your experience, your network, and all that other stuff, you know?
Right.
And, you know, I know we started like in October, and it may feel like, man, we haven't really hit too many home runs yet. But I feel like we're just priming it, tuning it, putting it together right, so that when we actually get in motion, like, we have something that's sustainable and that is going to be very, very impactful.
I mean, I've had a lot of different jobs, and I know we're not here to interview me, but I just want to say that, you know, how my role plays into this whole interview piece is that I've had a lot of different jobs, excuse me, and I've never had the luxury of necessarily having time to be the new girl or having someone there to coach me through, okay, this is how you then serve as an executive director of a nonprofit. I just, on the job training. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just, you know, how I roll. And so, but it's the one thing I wanted to say that's great about being here is that we have the resources to give me the opportunity to sit back and think. So many times when you're in a position, especially in a position of leadership, you don't have that time to think. And I hope that I give you that time too, to just have a quiet moment to think about what could be the next step.
Yeah, yeah. That's the problem, though. In my quiet moments, I think about other stuff that now become tedious tasks that need to get done. But yeah, that's the problem. You know, it's the gift and curse of ownership or just being a leader in business. You know, a lot of the times you get caught up in the minutia of the day-to-day operation, mm-hmm. and you don't really get times to, you know, think and develop macroly, you know, or just long term. Like I always tell, like my wife, I tell her, like, you can't allow your business to work you. You have to work your business, you know.
Right,
you have to,
right.
If you're in there and people are, and you're responding to every single thing, you're being pushed all around and stuff like that, you're not getting time to put solid systems in place or do the thinking to be able to analyze or just prepare and stuff like that. You're just literally running, and that could become very exhausted and tiring.
Absolutely.
And it doesn't allow you to be the best you know, unless mm-hmm. that is what you are. It's just I'm a manager and I like to manage. But leaders and managers are two different people. People seem to think that leaders and managers are the same people, you know, just because they sit close towards the top of the pyramid, for the lack of better words. But leaders and managers are two different skill sets,
absolutely,
you know?
Absolutely, absolutely.
And they require two different approaches. So, yes, you can manage that, but to lead it and run it is a different thing, you know
right.
what I'm saying? And that's what I want to, that's what we want to make sure that you have here is the ability to lead, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And we'll work on that, that assistance so that.
Yeah, thank you.
You
heard that audience, right? He's working on my assistant.
You can lead effectively.
Yes. One of the things that I really appreciate is the nuggets that you share with me. I got a few years on you, but and you're a young, dynamic entrepreneur, thought leader, business owner. And one of the things you said to me, I can't exactly remember what we were talking about, and you were saying that, you know, someone else's light doesn't dim my light, and I don't dim somebody else's
yeah.
light. Basically,
mm-hmm.
When your light is on, it doesn't dim my light. And when your light is on, when my light is on, it doesn't dim yours. But when
yeah.
both of our lights are on, it just
it
makes
the room brighter.
Brighter, right.
Yeah.
And so I'm like a nugget person. Like, my mom's not with us anymore, but I just remember a lot of things that she said to me, and one day I'm going to write a book. But that particular thing really resonated with me because, you know, I think that people look on the outside of a person and they see all this wonderful thing that's happening with BTST and with Chris Simon, and they, you know, may think that you don't care about other people or that you don't care about boosting other people. And that's what you're about. You're about making sure that all the boats rise,
yeah.
not just Chris Simon's boat.
Yeah.
And so I just want to talk a little bit about how you developed that thinking.
Well, I don't know actually how I developed it, but I guess just from team sports, you know?
Okay.
I would say from team sports and just understanding that, you know, like how you said, from an outside vantage point, I could see how somebody might see my bravado or something like that and be like, whoa, you know what? He's about himself or whatever, you know? And it's a complete opposite,
right.
you know, because I'm really about everybody, and I would literally shy away from certain things if, like, when I hear you mention my name or you introduce me to something, I always be like, oh, Jan, that's not necessary. You know what I'm saying? That's the way, that's what I feel. But, you know, it's a great thing to hear somebody to think highly of you and respect you enough to not even exaggerate, but just to state your titles and what you do. But, you know, for some people, that would be, that would lead to them being an egomaniac, you know? And I just think that, you know, the way BTS was founded, it was founded off of me working at other organizations and understanding what it felt like to be treated in a different capacity as a direct counselor or as an administrator in some capacity, seeing how they treated their people, to see how, you know, what the owners did and stuff like that. And I know when I started my thing, I wanted to make sure that we developed something that was different, that everybody felt valued, that we catered to our staff and to our people, you know, not for any manipulative way, but because these are the essence. This is who BTSD is.
Right, right.
BTSD isn't me. BTSD are the people of the organization that work here at the organization. So it would behoove us to cater to the people who are the organization, and making sure that regardless of position or tenure, that everybody feels respected, is valued, appreciated, and it feels comfortable, that you're not looking over your shoulder, that it's not all of this other, you know, turmoil and stuff like that, but that you feel like, you know what, I get excited, or I like being here, you know? And I mean, again, if you look at, we have this ring light. I mean, by the way, this is a very nice set.
I know, it's very nice. And I want to thank you for, and Jada, for trusting in me enough to give me this one.
No, no problem. We had a little shabby set, but this is nice. And like how we even have the ring light and this other light, I forget what it's called, but they put out different light, you know, and it doesn't make this, you turn one off, this set is going to be darker.
Right.
It's not going to stop that one from shining. So I like to get as many bright lights around us as we can,
right?
Because then it shines more light on the work that we actually do. And, you know, we're not competing. We're working together.
Right.
And I feel like when we work together, everyone's individual needs can also be met.
And that's a great segue, because you have enough people here so that you can tap into a person's area of expertise.
Yeah.
So when I want something or need a suggestion around something related to marketing, there's some marketing folks here that can give me some feedback on that. If I need someone to speak as a therapist, there are a whole bunch of therapists here that can do that, especially our executive director and your partner, Jada McCray. But Chris, I also want people to know that you're a social worker as well. You are a master's level social worker, and in addition to being a business owner, and that you've had experience in the field before you actually started BTSD.
Yeah.
And when I say this is the BTST podcast, I want people to know what BTST is. So I've worked on my elevator speech, so let's hear yours.
But I want to comment on your...
Okay.
That's the thing, like, you know, and I, you know, we're speaking strictly from a business perspective right now.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the thing, though. I don't expect to know everything, you know? Mm-hmm. And I know I don't know everything. So I want to get the people who know the most about the thing that we're looking to do to be a part of the team. For some people, I remember a conversation, a guy was like, you know, he wanted to tell everybody what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that necessarily doesn't work, because you're limited on what you know. I would rather get smarter people and they tell me what to do, because it helps shape the thing. Like, we just got out of a meeting and I was like, well, what do we need to do? And I defer to Sanjay on a lot of stuff as it relates to events. I defer to you.
Mm-hmm.
I defer to whoever, Rock, Eric, Sharita, whoever's there, Ashley. I defer to Ashley a lot now, you know? And like, whatever they think best practice is, or whatever their strengths are, or just whatever their background is, I don't know all this. I know a little bit about a lot of this stuff,
right?
But they know a lot about what they do, you know,
right?
And defer.
And it gives you the opportunity to really be in the space where you can be most impactful.
Yeah, and out the way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't want to slow this thing up because me needing to be in front of it, or me needing to be the person that makes the decisions. I want to be out the way and allow everybody to do what they're great at. You know, that's why I don't come to department head meetings.
Okay.
You know, because I don't want to come in. And even when I come in a meeting, you know, I may add a few jokes and stuff like that, but I really don't want to be disruptive to the process that's already in place. Mm-hmm. Like, I want that to be operable outside of me.
Right.
That's
right.
The strength of mm-hmm. a true organization, if it can operate when you're not there, you know? And that's what we are doing. But to your point, you know, BTST is a, you know, a healthcare organization that specializes in like the mental health capacity. We're a healthcare organization that, specializes in the healthcare mental health capacity, and we specialize in that in multiple ways, from being a service provider, being an outpatient mental health clinic that provides psychiatry, therapy, psychiatric rehabilitation, groups, trainings for staff, trainings for the community. So then, I mean, outside of being a service provider, we're trainers.
Mm-hmm.
So we bring in, even if we don't provide all the training, we make sure that we facilitate trainings for the community and for other providers. So the CEU trainings that we provide to our staff and other people who are able to come as well, the way that we train the community through several different initiatives that we provide.
Right.
Then we also create content to help disseminate our message. And in addition to our message, we create content that brings more awareness and destigmatizes mental health.
Right, right.
But I think when I say that we're a health care company,
mm-hmm.
it's because like we're going to be getting into substance abuse soon. So that's another capacity of health care.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking in different other opportunities to grow within the health space.
Right.
Whether
and it's then other jurisdictions. I mean, you're in four jurisdictions now,
uh-huh.
but other jurisdictions as well.
Yep. So more locations and different product offerings. So if we just say, hey, we're an outpatient mental health clinic, it's like, no, we do a lot more than mm-hmm. just provide services.
Right.
You know, actually a lot of the work that I do is, I'm going to step out there and say 98% of all the work that I do is non-service related.
Mm-hmm.
So, we're a growing organization that's making an impact in the state of Maryland and looking to diversify and do a lot more. But what our main goal is, like our mission statement, being on the cutting edge of technology, of advancements, education and trainings and different modalities, so that we can be the trailblazer, infusing all of these different practices and techniques that people use in entertainment, people that use in different genres of business,
mm-hmm.
incorporating those into the work that we do, you know, to bring it to more people and to be more efficient and productive at it.
Right. Tell me, because I was preparing for today and I was thinking, okay, we're in Baltimore City, Prince George's County, we're in Hagerstown, which is Washington County, and Frederick. How did you decide to be in the kind of Frederick and Hagerstown space? Because you started out in Baltimore City, right?
Yes and no.
Okay.
So the story is, I started BTST in Baltimore, but it was BTST Mentoring Services.
Okay.
So we started off as a mentoring program that had a contract with a state entity called Maryland Choices.
Mm-hmm.
So we were working with them, and we had a contract with them, and they would pay us to provide mentoring services to clients in that program.
Mm-hmm.
And this is at the time where they only provided services, had contracts with other organizations, and a buddy of mine told me about it, and he was like, yeah, you know, Maryland Choices are giving contracts out to individuals now. And he was like, yeah, I'm going to sign up and do that, you know? And I was just like, as an individual, I can only provide as many services as I can provide.
Right.
But if I go in as a company now, then, you know, I can hire other people and we can be way more impactful, you mm-hmm. know? So we decided to go in as a company. And that's why those exposure opportunities are needed, right? Because you see people like University of Maryland, you see people like Johns Hopkins, and you know that they own the program like you're trying to do, right?
Right.
But that doesn't seem feasible or attainable, you mm-hmm. know? Like, yo, for me to own the same thing that Johns Hopkins owns, at that time, it doesn't seem attainable.
Right.
However, as we were talking about these exposure activities that I'm very keen on, it's like I was able to see that there are other organizations that have the same type of contract that I want to get, and I happen to know a few of the people that own them. So that just allowed me to understand that this is obtainable.
Right, exactly.
I can do this. Mm-hmm. They're doing this. Mm-hmm. They're no different than me. So I went in as an organization, and, you know, it's been history ever since. However, when they lost their grant and the discretionary funds kind of slowed up a little bit, you know, we were forced to make a decision that we were either going to crumble or we were going to, you know, like the book, Who Moved My Cheese? We were going to mm-hmm. go to the next, we were going to go around the next corner and figure out how we find the cheese again, right?
Exactly.
And that led us to Montgomery County, because while they lost the contract for Baltimore, they still were the case management entity, the CME, for Montgomery County. Mm-hmm. So didn't have an office in Montgomery County. I've never been to Montgomery County prior to that. Not even, like, literally, never been to Rockville, Bethesda, Silver Spring. Never even been there before that. But I said, this is where we're going.
Right.
And I'm going there. And didn't have an office or anything. So I wound up interviewing people inside the Barnes & Nobles on Fenton Avenue. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And I was able to foolishly convince people to come work with, not foolishly now, but I was able to convince people to come work and be a mentor for us. And I was going to be able to pay you. Right. And I had clients that I was going to be obtaining from referrals.
Right.
And that you would work with them, and everything was going to work out the way I said it would.
Right, right.
You know?
And they did it.
In the back of a Barnes & Noble. Mm-hmm. And I've never been to Silver Spring. Or I'm from East Baltimore. So, you know, from people from East Baltimore never even go to West Baltimore.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Then you're talking about going to, we ain't even go to Towson.
Right.
Then we got to go to Anne Arundel County.
Right.
Got to go to Prince George's County.
That's right.
And go then up past
the Beltway,
that,
right.
And then past that, now we get to Montgomery County.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So for me to be an East Baltimore dude trying to convince these people to come work with us, I mean, it wasn't me, obviously. Mm-hmm. You know, it was something that was ordained for us and what the work that we should be doing. But I really interviewed them there, and then I established a relationship with Montgomery Tacoma Park Rec Center, where they would allow us to use some of their rec space to come in and work with some of our clients and stuff like that. And then Maryland Choices again was undercut and lost their funding
again,
there
in Montgomery County.
In Montgomery County, because everything moved to a insurance model, mm-hmm. where Medicaid was going to pay for services, and in order for Medicaid to pay for the services, there had to be some medical necessity, such as mental health services.
Right.
So just the regular mentoring and going to play basketball, or, you know, not just using that as a full activity. Mm-hmm. There needs to be other interventions and meaningful activities associated with that. But those are no longer there. It had to be based off of diagnosis and treatment plan and therapy and stuff like that. So again, we were at a fork in the road, mm-hmm. and it was like, what are we going to do? Are we going to crumble?
Another opportunity to find out where the cheese is.
Yes,
right?
And we continued to move to find the cheese. And so we just diversified and switched into a mental health organization. And I understudied at plenty of mental health organizations. Like, this is the stuff, like how you were saying, people think that is all that they see this and it's like the shine,
right,
and stuff,
exactly,
like that. And it's like,
exactly.
No, I guarantee you, I've outworked everybody that has the ambitions, or everybody that is sitting here casting these stones, you know? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Like, I worked at all walks of life. My buddy Floyd and his mother and his family had
Talia
that organization. Yes. Mm-hmm. They had that organization. When I was in grad school, I interned there as a therapist, mm-hmm. and then I graduated, got my license, and provided therapy under BTST, and still some, even I used to do some still at all, well, not after I graduated, but at All Walks of Life. I worked at Time Organization, I worked at Progressive Walk, I worked at several different places, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. and worked my way up to understand and to figure these things out. But what was I saying about that? That
you were trying to figure out what were you going to do after the grant funds stopped in Montgomery
County.
Yeah,
so, you know, I worked at these places, understood what that was like, and I submitted my proposal and got denied. So you thought this was going to be a great story. I submitted my proposal.
Right, right, right.
No, I got
denied. Yeah, and it got accepted. No.
Yeah, no. I wound up partnering with another organization. They hired me as like a consultant because I had relationships that could help generate referrals, and I could also contribute to the treatment model of the program that the way it was running. However, you know, as that happened, the part that I didn't like is that I couldn't be in control, not in control from a you do what I say perspective, mm-hmm. but if I promise an employee that you'll get paid on this day, and this is how this works, I need to be able to stand behind it and make sure that happens. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know? And for me to have to go to somebody else and say, hey, is everybody still going to get paid? When are they going to do it? When are they expecting their checks? Because they said it was supposed to be yesterday, and now they haven't received it today. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that's not who I am, you know? Mm-hmm. And I like for everything to be clear, concise. You know what your expectations are. I know what my expectations are. And we work to meet those.
And then you have the power to make sure that happens.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So I literally had to get back on my horse and fix that proposal and send it back in. And I did that. And then our program got approved. However, during that time, I know I'm using a lot of time to answer your short question. Mm-hmm. But during that time, it was harder to get approved in Baltimore because it was just oversaturated, which is still there are a lot of providers here now. However, it was easy to get approved in Prince George's County.
Okay.
And in Prince George's County, we needed a space. So I wound up partnering with, the prerequisite for the program that we had was that the clients that we wanted to work with had to be in therapy. Mm-hmm. So I wound up partnering with an outpatient mental health clinic who didn't have a PRP. Mm-hmm. And we were a PRP that didn't have an outpatient mental health clinic.
So that was perfect.
And we didn't care about having an outpatient mental health clinic, and they didn't care about having a PRP at the time.
Right.
So we had a space, and we shared a suite. You know, we had our specific offices, they had theirs, and, you know, we worked together. Mm-hmm. And so that's how I got approved.
So here you are in another county. Had you been to Prince George's County before, though?
On my way to Washington, Montgomery County. <All right>. But yeah, on my way to Montgomery County. You know what? I was in Prince George's County before. I had a college girlfriend from like freshman year that lived in like Oxon Hill.
Yep, that's Prince George's County.
I had a little pretty girl county. Okay. That's what they call it, right?
Yeah.
So I had a little girlfriend down there. And I did drive through there.
Okay.
And my aunt had lived in Waldorf. So,
and that's another, Clinton is Prince George's, Waldorf, Charles.
Yeah, yeah, okay. She lived in Clinton. Right on that Clinton-Waldorf line, yep. I guess, mm-hmm. Yeah. Whityard Road, so she was right there. Outside of those two things, I'm misspeaking again. Because I did go to PG County, because prior to this business, I owned a clothing store.
Okay.
Called C-Note, and one of my manufacturers was in Greenbelt.
Okay, yep. Definitely.
Yeah, he was in Greenbelt, mm-hmm. Maryland, right over there, like where the Burger King is, right across from Roosevelt. Mm-hmm. One of my manufacturers was there. So I used to go there to drop out designs off, design the clothes, pick them up, all that other stuff.
Okay.
So yeah, outside of those things, and I feel comfortably keeping it at that now.
Okay, all right.
That was my limit of PG.
Okay.
But they had an office in the World Trade Center building.
Okay.
So we was able to get approved there. And then we came back to Baltimore and opened another office. And then wound up in Frederick County because they had aspirations to go there. And I was like, well, if you're the clinic and I feed on you for my business, I'm going to go everywhere you go.
Right.
If you got clients there, that means I have clients there.
Right.
But they wound up they didn't go to Frederick. And we were supposed to share space there. And I got left on the hook with the space. Like, they never came.
Mm-hmm.
And we wound up having more responsibility than we accounted for, which was great, though, in long term, because we wound up separating from them anyway, because one day they decided that they were going to start a PRP. And they announced it at their holiday party that for the 1 year out of many that we were working together that we just happened not to be invited to.
Mm-hmm.
And they announced it there. And they announced that they were going to take us out.
Wow.
That was their mission, to take us out. Not that we couldn't both coexist. Their mission was to take us out.
Mm, they were like Mitch McConnell trying to take out President Obama.
Yeah, they were committed to taking us out. And, you know, again, that fork in the road again. And we had to figure out, okay, if they're responsible for 87% of our referrals in our business, if they decide that they're going to start their own PRP, we're going down.
Right, right, right.
So what we decided to do was to start our own outpatient mental health clinic.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to do it slightly covertly because, you know, they thought that they had the upper hand on us, and they thought that they were big brother and that we were these little brother that they were giving scraps to and that we really couldn't do anything without them.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to move out the space. I moved out the space, got another space in PG. So now I became fluent in PG.
Right, 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 right.
So I got a space in Lanham in addition to having a space there. And then we had to move the space in Baltimore. And I had to buy myself out of all of these leases.
Wow.
Yeah, spend a ton of money to buy ourselves out of leases while then paying space rent on the new space.
On the new space and renovating that
and
space.
And then built, renovating that space. I literally walked in one day and said, if we're going to be an outpatient mental health clinic, everybody's our competition at this point. So the way that we were originally planned that we were going to do this and we were just going to do some minor paint upgrades, let's go through and gut this place and build it the way we need to build it and make mm-hmm. it nice. Mm-hmm. And literally that day, I, without going into straight figures, I believe that day, within that month, we spent like $50,000
right.
just renovating that space. You know, we said we were just going to be pristine and we're going to make it nice. In addition to that, months later, we started building out this Baltimore location.
Yep.
So we had two big construction projects going on at once, buying ourselves out another lease, and putting money together to start a clinic without everybody knowing. Because if they caught us wind to us starting a clinic, they would have probably tried to dead us a lot mm-hmm. earlier than that.
Right.
But because they were so cocky and thought and underestimated us, they didn't even see it coming. And we wound up starting our clinic before they even got approved for their PRP.
Mm.
So it's, again, what God has for you, no man can
That's
take
right.
from you.
Nobody
you know?
Can take from you.
You're going to make your enemy your footstools, you know?
Yep, exactly.
And
exactly.
And again, I'm not calling them my footstool, mm-hmm. but I'm just saying that what they mean for bad, you know, it would
God
good
turned
for
it
me.
Around and made
yeah.
it for good.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So that's how we wound up in those counties. And then one of our rehab specialists that was serving in Frederick under Bernadette, she got licensed and she wanted to fulfill a void that was in Washington County, and she put together the plan for us to go to Washington County.
Okay. So, all right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, appreciate that background, because I know that people just, they hear BTST and they, and if they're in this area, in the Baltimore area, then they think that that's it. You
yeah.
know, they don't know anything else about your story or the history and what it really took. And I think it's important for people to understand your struggle, because
yeah.
like you say, they only kind of see the shiny part.
Yeah. We, you know, we're blessed that we hit a lot of home runs nowadays,
yeah.
you know,
mm-hmm.
and I think that people just see that and think that that is how it goes.
Yeah.
You know, I start something and then it all just comes, and that's not how it goes at all. You know, like, there were a lot of tribulations and trials, sleepless nights, debt, all that stuff that I had to personally risk
mm-hmm.
to be able to achieve this that we have, which is all to provide and enhance the people that we service way of life.
Right. And so you've talked about, you know, really the relationships that, that you built in this business, and some went good, some didn't, not so good. You know, the heartaches and headaches of building one business and growing it into something else.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's got to be really stressful.
Yes.
So talk to us about, you know, stress as it relates to being an entrepreneur, CEO, and then what are some of the things you do to relieve some of that stress?
I can't remember what's the audience of this podcast before I get to say what I do to relieve stress.
Maybe you would be.
No, I'm just kidding. Having that amount of responsibility is a lot, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I started, you know, we celebrated our 11th year anniversary. Well, we didn't celebrate. We actually forgot it because we were working this October 25th. That would made 11 years. So this makes 12 years. So if I'm 36, that means I started this when I was 24.
Right.
So, you know, that's...
And you're still a very young man.
Yeah, thank you. That's not a small task for somebody at 24
no.
to build something like this. You know, so it's stressful just knowing that you have a lot of people that are dependent on you and you're being productive. You know, so it's not like, hey, if I'm unproductive or if I'm just lazy or if I don't meet my deadlines or outcomes and stuff
mm-hmm.
like that, then it doesn't only impacts me.
Right.
No, it impacts, it's a trickle down effect. It affects staff, their families, our clients, those communities
right.
and stuff like that. So when you look at it like that, I mean, you know, it is a pretty stressful type of situation, you know.
Just the thought of the number of people that you have to pay on payday
yeah, payroll
stresses
gets
payroll, out.
Payroll gets aggressive, you know. It can get aggressive,
yep.
you know. But I think that we have been, you know, fiscally responsible,
mm-hmm.
you know. Like, I grew up without having a whole bunch.
Mm-hmm.
So I never want to experience that again, you
right.
know.
Mm-hmm.
So I always try to be, you know, even though we are pretty lavish, you know, we still try to be frugal. And you know, I'm not even gonna say frugal. We try to be responsible.
Responsible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you know that it is stressful, you know. And then, you know, dealing and having no, like how we said, we have a bunch of different managers and people that are skilled in their specific field who have visions and dreams about how they feel like this should go, having to manage all of that and then manage all of these locations and have everybody buy into the universal goal plan and help them understand where they fit within that plan and what's needed and the systems that we need to get them acclimated to be a part of what we're doing.
Right.
You know, that is stressful. You're mm-hmm. dealing with a lot of different personalities.
Absolutely.
A lot of different counties, a lot of different, you know, just backgrounds. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's a pretty stressful job. However, you know, I've heard that it's more stressful at other places. I think that we are blessed here.
Right. I mean, I think that, and just like you said, I haven't been here that long, but you work hard, but then you find other opportunities to play hard too. Even though, you know, responsibly. And I also like the fact that you are a very loving and doting dad and husband.
Thanks.
And I think that that's important too. And so to have that strong family unit around you, I'm sure that helps alleviate some of the stress.
I would say that would probably add some stress. Yeah, you see my kids. that definitely adds.
Yes. It'll get better when they get older.
I sure hope so. But no, you know, I'll try to take, you know, as a therapist, like you said, I'm a licensed therapist myself, so I try to take my respite and my breaks as well. Mm-hmm. You know. What I would like, you know, I go to sporting games and hang out, or, you know, just, what do I do? Like, I play golf sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I can play tennis. You know, I'm into other creative stuff well. So I have, like, a bunch of different creative outlets that I get to do stuff that I like. And, you know, one thing, things that I would like to do, you know, is, like, to be able to read more and just to have time to myself. But you know what's been effective for me? And this may sound crazy, and people from now, like, I used to rush in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
So people be like, man, you look nice every day. Like, it's literally, I'm just grabbing and going. It's not this thought out process. And I didn't buy this to specifically wear with this. It's literally just grabbing and going, you know? Mm-hmm. And I'm running through the bathroom. But what I've done recently is making sure I'm slow and deliberate with my morning process.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not rushing through. So, you know, I'm deliberate in the, from showering to, you know, I would be out the house sometime rushing, and I'd be like, dang, I ain't put lotion on my ankles. You know what I'm saying?
Hell yeah, yeah.
And, you know, I just started wearing socks. Jada gonna laugh on that one.
When I see you with the socks, I'm like, whoa.
Yeah. Jada invested in a brother and bought me some socks.
Okay.
So, and Eric. but yeah, so like I would just rush through that morning process, and I would throw my stuff on, and I'd be out, and I don't get to appreciate the ability to, you know, not have to be at work at 8 o'clock, that mm-hmm. has a flexible schedule. Mm-hmm. I'm just so disciplined to my schedule that, you know, I could get here late every day if I decided
mm-hmm.
to,
mm-hmm.
but that's just not who I am.
Right.
So, you know, I would run through this thing, but now I take the time for myself, and I take, you know, it's not that I ever sucked on hygiene or anything like that,
right.
but just being able to be in that moment versus multitasking and doing all these different things, you know, has been one of the great things to help me bring down some of that stress. So then when I get here, I'm in this moment now.
So we talked about BTST mentoring, growing to BTST services, to, we haven't even talked about the Excel Youth Program, but with all of these locations and businesses, you probably have about 200 employees or more.
Yes.
And so tell me what you're looking for, because I know I've seen the commercials where it's like, you know, if you want to work in a great place, come to BTST. So tell the people who are listening why they want to come to BTST and what we're looking for in people.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that we have a great environment here, you know, and at all of our locations, specifically in Baltimore, you know, because that's headquarters.
Right.
So a lot of the stuff we pilot here and then we start to use it at other places. But like when we first built this place out, we had a gym.
Okay.
Until they put a gym downstairs And then they offered us discounts for our staff to be able to use down there. It was like, all right, well, we can get rid of this gym now and we can make it something for the clients now. But we had a gym. We had an employee lounge. You know, we had glass walls. We had yoga. So we designed this place that would be accommodating to staff. And so the idea was that we're building out this real nice place, and we wanted, when the cream of the crop graduated or that they were looking to work somewhere, we knew we wouldn't be their only, we wouldn't be their only place that they would be considering, you mm-hmm. know, because these are going to be people that are going to, you know, be desirable to have at any organization. Mm-hmm. So we wanted to make sure that as desirable that they were, that we were as equally as desirable.
Right.
That when you came here, you didn't want to go work somewhere else.
Right.
You want, or when you came here, you went to the next place and they didn't have glass walls, and you'd be like, what? I'm going back to BTSD, right, you know? Right. They didn't have a marble wall when you came in, the employee lounge.
Employee lounge.
Tasty Tuesdays,
right,
you know?
Right, exactly.
Where we provide
exactly.
catering for everybody.
I always
everybody.
Say it's aesthetically appealing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so we wanted to make sure that we incorporated all of these different things into our space, into our functionality as an organization, so that we got the best staff. We didn't want the leftovers, the people that nobody wanted, you know. Mm-hmm. And everybody deserves a chance, you know. But if this right. has been, if this is, your work behavior has been this and your resume has been like this, we're not the place for you, you know. But right. we want the A1, you know, like I used to watch Suits, right? Mm-hmm. And Suits is a lawyer show on, right. on USA. Mm-hmm. And they had a bridge from, I think it was Harvard, to them, you know. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I want to, the most desirable lawyers that were coming out wanted to come work there,
right.
And I wanted to make this a place where the most desirable social workers, therapists, or counselors wanted to come and work,
right? Exactly.
You know, and like that's why our employee lounge has like an 80-inch TV, two sofas,
right,
a cooktop, so people can cook their own lunches, or we right. could bring chefs in and they can cook for us at
right.
some point,
exactly.
you know,
exactly.
And that people can hang out, like Sharita. I'm
and even work
to see
in
her
that
actually
space
in here
yeah.
right now, because Sharita's been working in the employee lounge mm-hmm. like since December
mm-hmm.
first. She's been in there consistently. So, you know, and that's the what we want, where we have these flexible and unique workspaces that people can go and work anywhere in the building.
Right. So I can't let you go without you talking about the extension of BTST services, which is BTST Cares,
mm-hmm.
which is near and dear to my heart, just like I know it is to you, yours, because it is the nonprofit entity of BTST services. And so one of the things that I'm hoping I'm able to do here is to build out BTST Cares. And most of, if not all of the activity through your nonprofit has really been funded by BTST services. Mm-hmm. It has not even gone after grants.
Yeah.
And just doing wonderful work, changing the lives of the clients that you serve. So just in the brief time that I've been here, I've experienced Thanksgiving dinner, Thanksgiving baskets, mm-hmm. BTST, the big give back, which yeah. I was like, what is the big give back?
Yeah.
And then even before that, giving out school supplies and book bags when school was about to come back into session.
Mm-hmm.
So talk to us about why you formed BTST Cares.
Yeah, some of those, last year was a great year too.
It was a great year.
I'll come back to that, but I was just thinking about some of the big give back and initiative things mm-hmm. that you did. But BTSC Cares was just our mission, or like our program, that we could do more than just provide mental health services.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when I first started BTST, you know, it was very grassroots. So I was able to do a lot of the mentoring work and develop a lot of the activities and stuff that we would do. And then, you know, as the company grows, so does my role and what I can be involved in. So I'm not involved day to day in being able to impact the communities through just initiatives that we would do, you know, mm-hmm. that I used to do. But what really happened was one day I was at home. It snowed. It was a blizzard. And I was watching The Wire. It was like a marathon.
Right.
And you know, The Wire is one of the greatest shows ever.
Mm-hmm.
And once you start watching one episode, you just can't stop. And you know, as great of a show as it was, you know, it really showed and highlighted some of the deficiencies and problems in the Baltimore City community, you mm-hmm. know, when kids would go home be a lack of parental supervision, they, you know, lack of food,
right,
exactly. Lack of opportunities, exposure, stuff like that, you know, or just like even household items that we were lacking, you know. Mm-hmm. It showed how, you know, how strong and resilient a Black family is. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, we'll be 13 deep in the house one day, you know. Right. If one person got it, we all got it, and we all live together and stuff like that, and we would build on that, and mm-hmm. we would have a sense of family and stuff like that. But, you know, that's always not the greatest situation either. You know, sometimes when you're that many people in the house, not everybody has a bed.
Right.
And not all these other things. So I wanted to develop BTST Cares to be that opportunity for us to do more than just provide mental health services, mm-hmm. where we could really give back. And, you know, we thought about raising funds, mm-hmm. but that we can just really like give back and create opportunities to further help our clients. And we figured that it would help them in mental health services at the same time, because, you know, if they came to us for treatment and care, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we provided great services, but then they had to go back home to the same community.
Yes.
How effective, into the same household. So everything that we talked to them about when we went to the home and said, you should do this, do this, do this, do that. If they go back home to the same environment with the same lack of resources, the same struggles, how effective is the work that we're going to be doing?
Right. It's almost like you have to start from ground zero
each and every time you mm-hmm. see them, you know? Mm-hmm. So it was our goal to kind of want to fix that. And when our clients came to us to try to improve their living and their access to resources and stuff like that.
Okay.
So we started off by adopting a family each month. The Big Give Back Toy Drive, the Back to School Drive, the Thanksgiving events. Like last year, are you about to talk about last year's stuff?
Yeah.
Too?
Yeah,
okay,
I won't go to,
well, I mean, we're here now.
Yeah, you can go ahead.
Like last year, for the Thanksgiving thing, we provided baskets for over 150 people,
right,
that they could take, or close to 200 some people that they could take home, stocked with turkeys and everything else.
Right.
And then this was in addition to the food that we provided families when they were able to come as well.
Right.
The Big Give Back Toy Drive, like we literally provide families that wasn't expecting to have Christmas,
mm-hmm.
a Christmas. Like, these aren't just families that just, you know, needed icing on top of their cake, you know?
No.
These are families that didn't have to provide gifts for their to their kids, and they were going to have to, you know, have tough conversations.
It was just amazing watching the young people open the gifts.
Yeah.
You know, they were like, oh, man.
And when they took off running.
I mean, almost like tears.
Choked up.
Yeah.
Choked up. When you see them taking off running, and that they have no, when they first get to the restaurant, they have no idea that they're coming for toys. They think they're just coming for dinner
mm-hmm.
and stuff like that. And so then when the family's after dinner, and then they get to go, they see this room full of presents that are wrapped, and they then know that those presents are for them. I mean, they get excited. They can't sit still. They're ready to go.
Right.
And then we let them free, and then they just run and try to open all the gifts and, you know, and like just have big joy and so excited about things they wanted, they actually got. And then you see the parents' faces, and you get to see like the joy on their face to see their kids happy,
right.
You know, and like the thankfulness and appreciation that this was able to happen for
mm-hmm.
them, you know,
mm-hmm.
the selflessness,
right?
But then we also provide gifts to the parents as well.
Exactly.
You know?
I was going to say that it's not just for we get information on the entire family, the household.
Yeah.
And gifts and gift cards are provided for the children and the adults.
Yeah, yeah. And so that we also give them I think a food gift card too,
mm-hmm.
so that they can get food for
Christmas
for Christmas dinner
mm-hmm.
as well. But you know, we was able to do this because it started off with a happy hour where people were able to come and enjoy themselves and bring toys and stuff like that. And that's the thing. That's why I think that when you go back to your point why BTSC is the place of work, is because we infuse culture
mm-hmm.
into the work that we do.
Mm-hmm.
We understand who we are. And we understand the things that we like. And that we don't have to fit in this box model or this black and white traditional paradigm, you know, model. We can literally create what we want to. And we like to infuse culture and the way that we like to have fun, into these things. So that's why, yeah, the big give back toy drive. Now we got a DJ. We're going to have a DJ every year now.
Right, exactly.
And we know people like to hang out and go to a happy hour, have a drink, have something to eat, a part of their giving, you know? So we create these social events that are, you know, created that people want to come to
right.
and come support.
Like Tom Joyner, I don't know if he created this term party with a purpose. And then I heard Steve Harvey say it as well. But that's definitely what we're doing. I mean, our socialization and our social opportunities with the public also give us the opportunity to share our purpose.
Yeah. And one of the things, I know before you move to the next thing, like it's not directly through BTSC Cares, it's through BTSC. But one of the most impactful things that we do, people see the toy drive, they see Thanksgiving, they see the book bags, like we give away over 1,000 some book bags filled with school supplies. We make sure that the kids get their hair cut and their hair braided or done for school. And the hair braiders even like flaked on us this year. And so my staff hopped in and started braiding hair themselves.
Right, exactly.
You know, so, and we had like an adult prom. For like some of the adults who never experienced prom because they had children and those children, you know, didn't allow them to stay in school and stuff like that.
Then we helped them find dresses and
all of
clothes,
that stuff,
right.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And one of the most impactful things that and then we provide the CEU trainings and we provide parent groups and stuff like that. But one of the most impactful things that we do that we never even take credit for, and we don't take credit for because we never really thought to really analyze the data like that. But we spend over $250,000 a year transporting clients to their medication appointments. This is a service that we're unable to bill for, that, you know, we don't get anything extra out of this. Mm-hmm. But we thought it was impactful for us to purchase vans, hire drivers, buy uniforms, get insurance, do all of these different things that allowed us to be able to provide transportation services. And then now we make it so that clients that are in our program that are in need of medication services, like to see the doctor for medicine or for therapy on site, mm-hmm. that they don't have to transport themselves. Regardless if you have transportation personally or not, everybody is available. This mm-hmm. service is available to everyone. And while it's a headache sometimes having to provide the services to as many people based on the amount of vehicles and drivers we mm-hmm. have, we thought it was necessary that we didn't want transportation to be a barrier and for these individuals to receive the care
Absolutely.
That they needed. So we spent over $250,000 mm-hmm. a year transporting clients to their medication appointments.
Wow.
That's stuff that, you know, that's not stuff that we brag about
right.
or anything else like that. People see the turkeys, they see the toys, but that right there.
Right. And it would be easy to just write that thing off because you're just like, oh, well, that's not reimbursable. So we're not going to provide that service.
Yeah. But there are a lot of organizations
but it's important to be,
that don't see the value right, in mm-hmm. it. And because, you know, there is a model looking at it like, hey, you know what? People were able to get to their primary doctor's position. We need to develop a sense of responsibility that this is as important as well. Mm-hmm. However, you know, we feel that way. However, we do know that, you know, 1 + 1 doesn't always equal 2.
Right.
As
exactly.
much as we want people to do things and that that we feel like they could, one, there's already a stigma related to mental health.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you're talking about coming on site to receive medicine, to meet the doctor, to talk about right. medication, oh, you're definitely going to be even more reluctant to come now. So if we can at least provide you transportation to get here so that, you can get the service that you need, then, you know, we feel like, you know, maybe you'll be a little bit more receptive to what's needed to improve.
So I just like you to think through as I'm asking my question because partnerships are so important. We talked about these other activities, these social events that we have with purpose, but you know, you mentioned Sanjay before, but Sanjay Productions has been one of the partners for the Big Give Back, the Zenith Group, Mount Washington Tavern for the Big Give Back Dinner, Giada Restaurant, Walmart, and then with the turkey piece, we had an Association of Correctional Officers that mm-hmm. Donated turkeys, and you know, Chris knows a lot of people, and how important is that for people that you know, and then even people that are listening that really don't know me or you, to then kind of hook in and see this as a good opportunity to give?
Yeah, partnerships are everything. You know, you can't do it all by yourself. And when you have people who have the same passion about helping and wanting to see, wanting to make an impact, it's always great. You mm-hmm. know, like, we want to work with some of the skilled, most skilled individuals, but then we want to work with people who have great platforms that allow us to be able to do the work that we do, you know, like Walmart. But we can't do, we couldn't, it would be very difficult to do a lot of the stuff we do without partnerships, you right. know. So whether that's people to come to volunteer at the Taraji P. Henson event, mm-hmm. or people coming to the rapping party for the big give back, mm-hmm. or, you know, people just spreading the word and stuff like that, you know, we do need those people a part of what we're doing, you know.
Yeah. You mentioned the Taraji P. Henson event. Taraji's foundation, named after her dad, the Boris L. Henson Foundation, the agency I used to work for, AMBTST. We were very fortunate to work with them on their first Black Mental Health Conference under the title Can We Talk? And a lot of people are talking about the transition from one decade to another. So as you think about all the wonderful things that BTST did last year, I mean, we've named several of them, and feel free to add on if we missed anything. But, you know, my question for you, Chris, would be, what does the next decade look like for BTST?
That's a good question. But I think before we even figure out what the next decade look like, okay. you know, I think that we have to think about, you know, what we did this last mm-hmm. year. Like, If our next decade can be a reflection of anything, what we did last year, it would be a great decade. You know, if we can divide up, if we were to divide up everything that we did last year over the course of 10 years, I would still say it would be a great 10 years. You know, we were just blessed to be able to do it all within a year. You know, like, it started off with Shop Talk. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the R. Kelly situation brought light to human trafficking and sexual assault and abuse, that we were able to identify a way that we can get involved in the conversation. And we developed a film, you know, like, called Shop Talk.
Right.
In partnership with the Black Mental Health Alliance and mm-hmm. Kaiser Permanente. Mm-hmm. We actually executive produced a film. And that's not a stuff that a lot of mental health organizations
and had a can premiere say,
and had a premiere for it,
right.
at the Reginald F. Lewis Museum.
Exactly.
And the movie just talked about the different philosophies, what the difference in opinions between women and men in the barbershop, women in the hair salon, just talking about the how they viewed the R. Kelly situation and how they, you know, what everybody would have think that they would have done given those situations and their experiences, and how it shapes their vision on parenting and just in general, you know. Right. And then we had a panel at the premiere about sexual exploitation that had some phenomenal presenters there. And then from there we leave off of, you know, being executive producers and having a great event, that's one home run, you know. And yeah, then we exactly. go to the next thing, which is Hayden's Critical Catch, you know. Mm-hmm. And this was Hayden Hurst from the Baltimore Ravens, number one draft pick from the 2000 and
every time he catches the ball now, I'm draft. Like, that's Hayden
Hurst. Yeah. I'll be like, man, throw him the ball some more, man. This boy catches everything. And when he gets in his element, man, he's a beast.
He is.
So, you know, we had the relationship with them. Where, again, we executive produced another film. Mm-hmm. So within the first half of the year, we executive produced two films, one of which is, you know, gets talked about and mentioned and displayed on ESPN, which was Hayden's Critical Catch, in which we created a mini doc to go and talk about Hayden's story, about how he started off as a baseball player and transitioned mm-hmm. to football and the mental health issues that he dealt with. Mm-hmm. And then we went on so we produced this whole film that, you know, would tell his story, help them raise funds more. And then in addition to that, we then put together a school tour where we went to these different schools and had, like, edutainment events where me and Hayden sat down in front of the people, the attendees, and talked about Hayden's story live in front of them so that he could impact the student athletes that were present at these schools.
Right.
And we bring in DJ No ID, and we bring in different people to create some entertainment and music to go a part of this situation. And then we provide mental health services in partnership with them to these individuals funded by Hayden Hurst and the Hayden Hurst Family Foundation. And then we were the premier sponsor in that golf tournament.
Wow.
So we were able to do that. Then we leave that and go and we start, we have a mental health conference in the nation's capital with Taraji P. Henson and the Boys Lawrence Henson Foundation. It's not like we were just attendees, we were partners. You know, like we were
major
partners.
Regional partners, and you did the
You got
lounge.
This lounge, yeah. So we were partners, we helped create the content, and I'm gonna say we helped because I helped you.
Right.
But you really created all the content for the conference and facilitated and brought in speakers and stuff like that, you know, amongst Tracy and her phenomenal staff.
Absolutely.
But then, yeah, we hosted the You Got This Lounge where the celebrities were coming in during the day of the gala. And we were able to interview them and talk to them about mental health and why they thought this was important. And then we actually, you know, I was able to go on stage and give out an award to a Chicago security guard in the schools who developed these at the school programs and stuff, like for safe spaces for kids in Chicago. And then, you know, we was able to present in our own panels about mental health. So that was just... You know, and I got to go to Congress with Taraji P. Henson.
Right, exactly.
You know, and
we were on C-SPAN.
I was on C-SPAN. We were definitely there. Jan, like, slide over so I could be on C-SPAN too. So if you see Jan head tilted to the right.
This is how astute Chris is, because I was moving toward him. He didn't think I was trying to get fresh. He said, "You trying to get in front of the camera, aren't you?" I said, "Yeah."
Yeah, see? Hey, more than one light makes everything brighter, right?
Exactly.
But yeah, we did that event with Taraji P. Henson. I mean, this is huge. You know, just huge event. Then, you know, we had the Grammys event. We had an event with the Recording Academy, the Grammys. Like, you know, like literally in like 2 weeks, they'll be having the Grammys in LA.
Yeah.
And we just had a partnership with them to talk about music and mental health. Those are partnerships, you know. But then we also had opportunities like where I got to go speak at the We Love Music Conference, where we sponsored 100 individuals to be able to go to the We Love Music Conference. Wow. This time it was in Milwaukee. Last year it was in Baltimore where we sponsored it. And last year I was on vacation. This year I was able to go and present on music and mental health. Then, you know, from that, I was invited to come speak at the A3C Conference in Atlanta. I mean, this is like where Gary Vee and Dapper Dan and just all these influential speakers and people are speaking at.
And you were on the panel with Shanti Das.
On a panel with Shanti Das, who was also a boss, you know?
Yes.
Is able to speak at the Associated Black Accountants. I was invited to the Kaiser and NBA event that we actually went to.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, when we, the commissioner of the NBA and the CEO of Kaiser, rest in peace, you know, bless his soul, because he passed, had a forum where they discussed the synergy between mental health and sports. Then we were invited to come to Google.
Absolutely.
To come to a Google to find out about all the great initiatives that that Google has to offer and how they can benefit businesses. But the NBA and Kaiser thing, they only invited certain individuals in the mental health space.
Right, it was invitational
only. Come. So it was invitational only, and we were selected to come. You know, we've been on numerous radio shows and TV. You know, we have a podcast that we do and a new set. Like this has all just happened last year. We built out new clinical services downstairs. So we have a whole new floor where clients come in to see the doctor. And we've built with this custom front desk that lights up and says BTST.
Right. It can even be purple.
Yeah, well, yes. Yes. I don't know if it's going to be purple for the rest of this year now that we lost yesterday.
Right.
I mean, the other day. But, yeah, we've renovated our PRP wing. We opened up, we moved our Frederick location and renovated a new office, giving them 5,000 to 6,000 square feet. We added more space to our Washington County's location and expanded to add clinical services. Before, they were only a PRP. You know, we added our program Nails, Toes, and Convo.
Yes.
I opened a beauty spa called Selfish. Well, I'm not gonna say I, in partnership with my wife. And another couple and another individual, we started Selfish Beauty Spa, you know, and then taking that same love for wellness and making sure that people felt well on the inside and mental health, we started something called Nails, Toes, and Convos.
Right.
There, which is an outlet for training and wellness development. I mean, and the list just, it keeps going on and on
right,
and on.
Right.
In addition to the big give back and the turkeys and Thanksgiving
right, right.
and the back to school, the adult prom and the trainings and all that other stuff, we just had a very, very, very impactful year.
I just want to give a plug for Nails, Toes, and Convos because in just like Chris said, he is one of the owners at Selfish Beauty, which is a full service spa. But in relationship to his business with BTST Services, he made a connection to not only being concerned about your outer beauty, but being also concerned about what's going on the inside, and using those, infusing those two businesses to create this concept, Nail, Toes, and Convos, which gives us the opportunity to bring in people who are going to talk about mental health and emotional wellness each month and in that beautiful space. And the beauty of it is when we first started talking about it, I actually thought it was going to be something for women. But the way we framed it and through our conversation and, you know, massaging it, it's actually a space for women and men.
Yeah, I'm thankful that, you know, the three ladies that run Selfish and the three primary,
right.
the people of Selfish are open to understanding in the importance of total health and wellness. So, I had the idea that we need to be able to infuse mental health. It's big, you know. I don't want people just walking out with a full set and long lashes,
right.
but feeling empty on the inside, you mm-hmm. know. So we created Nails, Toes, and Convos, a space where we can have conversation within the space about various topics, you know. And it's been, thank you for you, because you've been managing this and finding the people to present and taking this project over. And I think that is very, very impactful.
Yes, yes.
So I guess to answer your question for 2019 and this next decade, I haven't even gotten out of January yet, so it's
right.
going to be hard to say the next decade.
But what about the next 12
year,
months?
Yes, for the next 11 and a half months,
okay.
I guess, because we're already behind.
Yeah.
But the next 11 and a half months, you know, is like we have a mentoring program that we want to start,
mm-hmm.
well, an enrichment program. And, you know, I don't want it to be called tutoring.
Right.
Because that sounds like a deficit. I wanted to be a strength-based model where we are enriching lives through education. We're going to infuse...
We were talking about mission statement today.
Yeah.
And that's
there you
I'm
go.
Gonna, I got it
Kick
right there.
Right uh-huh. there. There's a nugget.
Yep. There's
but
a nugget.
But no, being able to enrich lives through, you know, through educational support, mental health support, STEM, and mentoring and exposure activities.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really excited about that. This is a program that we don't have a grant for, but that I am going to make sure that we fund to make sure that it happens. You don't have to come to us for mental health services. It's not connected to anything. It's literally that you can just sign up and come to this program. And I really feel like it's going to benefit and impact tons of children, middle schoolers and high schoolers, I'm so excited about... It's not just the educational work that
mm-hmm.
we're going to do. It is, but it is the educational work. So being able to bring in top-tier educators that can come and provide supplemental support in math and reading, you know, but then that's not it, because we may know how to add and we may know how to, you know, read, but we second-guess ourselves. So
mm-hmm.
then we're going to incorporate, you know, confidence
mm-hmm.
and mentoring, teaching you how to, you know, own it. And infusing what it's like to be African American, you know, and growing up in this space, and, you know, equipping you with all the skills you need to be successful. It's not just 1+1. It's knowing how to utilize 1+1. It's knowing how to implement that
mm-hmm.
in some capacity. But the plight of the African American male is different, especially in Baltimore, you know. So understanding how to navigate this systematic blunder,
mm-hmm.
you know, and still be successful, because you could be the smartest person, you could be the best reader, but if you don't know how to navigate this system and understand, you know, awareness, understanding networking, understand relationships, understanding respect and integrity, you know, all that reading really doesn't mean anything,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
you know. So that's one of our goals continue to work with the Hayden Hurst Family Foundation, build on other strategic partnerships. That we have a lot of other initiatives and projects that we have in a way that I don't want to speak on,
right.
Because I think they're innovative and they're going to change the game. But our curriculum that we're rolling out for our mental health program, so that when clients come here, like we're picking ADHD and anxiety. So when people come here, we want to be the center for ADHD and anxiety, in addition to the other work that we do. But we want, when people come here, you say, you know what, if somebody has ADHD, a kid had ADHD, and they, where can I take them to? Take them to BTST.
Right,
yeah,
right.
That's what I want us to do.
Yeah. I think it's also important to say, Chris, that when I think about, you know, because I have my own business as well. So I've been in spaces where I've worked for other people. I have my own business. But one of the things that I admire about BTST is that you meaning BTST, you and Jada, make sure that you cross your T's and dot your I's. So BTST is CARF accredited, which is a big deal, mm-hmm. for an organization to receive that kind of feedback, saying that you have done what you need to do to receive this special accreditation. And also that you make sure that your staff is trained. And so recently, you had staff person Demetra Kearney create curriculum around making sure that when therapists come in, because they're coming in from different places, yeah. they work for other people, they're coming in from different schools, they're at different levels, yeah. and so it's important to make sure people get on the same page. So they're going to receive 40 hours of training to make sure that they have the insight and knowledge.
That's just the first week. And
okay.
then it's going to continue for like the month, but there will be time periods within when they come in within a month,
mm-hmm.
because like you said, people come from different, they understand different treatment modalities.
Right.
You might have been educated at Morgan, or you might have been educated at University of Maryland, or you might have worked at a place and you just became tainted or stuck in a way of doing things that is different than the way we want to do things. So we want to train you based upon what we know, our service model, so that when you go out to see clients, we can say you're a BTST certified, right. approved to be able to see these clients, and that people can trust it and believe that when they say they're from BTST, that this is going to be a very, very great experience.
So just kind of round us out with why it's important for people to support BTST Cares. I want you to make sure you say, give us a clip on that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Close on that. And then also just want to mention that you're doing the Boss Blog as well.
Boss Talk?
Boss Talk Blog.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the not necessarily an idea, that because we're still fleshing it out, but that we're going to have a fundraiser this year for BTST Cares.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, BTST Cares is very important. Like we said, everything that we've ever paid for or done through BTST Cares or Give Back has been 100, outside of, some of the money that Walmart gives us here and there for big Give Back stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But outside of that, it's been 100% self-funded.
Mm-hmm.
So our goal is to go after grants. So if people listening and they know grants that are out there, or people that are looking to donate to organizations like ours, please make sure that you contact us. We're actively looking for you and open to it. If you want to cash app us, go fund us or whatever else, you can do those too. We don't have to have a huge campaign. And I think that, we talked about talking to Rock about implementing, mm-hmm. something like this. Well, we just got a $5 campaign,
mm-hmm.
and we spread it around and have people just donate $5 or whatever you can. And, goes a long way. If you can get 1,000 people to donate $5, that's $5,000 that, mm-hmm. could go towards something great, you know? And they always have the ability to donate more, too. Let's make sure we say that.
Right.
But, to fund a lot of the work that we do, we have a fundraiser coming up for Mother's Day, which we're going to be honoring some phenomenal women that are doing great stuff and just in the community in general. And this will be where moms and daughters can come and celebrate Mother's Day. And then we're going to do something for Father's Day the same way. And these funds that we raise will go towards that mentoring,
yep, and enrichment program.
The B Theory.
Mm-hmm. The B Theory. You heard it right here.
The B Theory. That's the name of our enrichment program. It's going to go towards those things. So it's very imperative that people donate, because, it funds a lot of the stuff that we can do. We can be even more impactful in the communities.
this conversation has been so enlightening and so informative. And I just want to thank you for being my very special guest and my very special CEO.
I appreciate
it. And it's my pleasure
to
interview
you. It's different sitting on this side of the table, being that I used to host a podcast. This is my first time actually being interviewed on the podcast.
Okay, all right.
But that's what we wanted it to create a platform that we can shed light on everything that everybody does out in the community, and also that we have a platform where we can hop on and talk about all the stuff that we're doing.
Yeah, I think it's a great special segment.
Message. We might have to have one of these every January,
right?
Where I come and do like
absolutely
a State of the Union and address.
Yes,
I could talk about our growth rates and services. That's one thing we didn't get to do. And I've researched this fact just for you.
All right, please tell us.
Well, like when you were saying about BTSC is very impactful. So the BTSC kids work. So we're outside of the community work that we do and the content creation, we are really great therapists and we really make an impact in mental health. Last year alone, we provided 140,000 services. That's up from the previous year of 118,000 services, which means that we increased by 15% growth.
Mm-hmm.
140,000
services
is what we provided last year. That's a lot of services.
That's a lot of service
to a lot of individuals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I hope that everybody would deem that they were, you know, effective services.
Right. So even though maybe sometimes people don't get it, when you're talking about PRP and therapy and medication management, people understand numbers.
Yeah.
So 140,000 services is a big deal.
Yeah, yeah. And I really never even got into the analytics as much like that, but I know that you need those type of things for the grants and stuff like that. But yeah, we provided over 140,000 services last year. Oh, and I'll end this with what you were saying. You asked me, you know, that we have all these internal controls in place, and that we dot our T's and we cross our T's
and dot our I's,
but we have to.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I'm somebody that represents a total organization, and for everyone, but we have to, especially being a Black-owned organization.
Absolutely,
we have to, because there are a lot of people that are already willing to discredit us or just think because University of Maryland and Johns Hopkins have great names and bigger brands that they're just more phenomenal, and they are great in their own right. You know, like, we all need everybody to exist in their space, but when it comes to people like us, like, there was this organization, the same one that tried to take me out, he lived like in Moncton or somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he would talk about how he would come to our community and provide services, and he would go back to his community, you know? Mm-hmm. And I didn't really like the fact that I felt like people were capitalizing on our communities as opportunities and really didn't have the passion, right?
Mm-hmm.
And to do the work that we do. Like, for us, this is our brothers, this is our cousins.
Right.
But then one day he made a statement to someone when Jada was leaving the organization she was with to come work for us. He was, you know, disparaging my name and saying that, oh, we were this. But one thing that stuck with me is that he called us a mom and pop.
Mm-hmm.
And like, that fueled me, and it continues to fuel me, and I'm pretty sure everybody probably gets tired of hearing this mom and pop thing that was said towards me, but it fuels me. That's why we have glass walls.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we have an employee lounge like that. That's why we care about our people and stuff like that. We want to show you what a mom and pop actually looks like.
Right.
And it wasn't that we were just small. It's just that there was this, it was trying to create this level of inferiority, you know what I mean?
Right, right.
And
they
the level
wanted to
of
say we also had a mom and pop mindset.
Yeah, and to create this level of eliteness to them and this level of insufficiency to us.
Mm-hmm.
So I woke up every day and I still show you what a mom and pop looks like, you know? Mm-hmm. So, and as a mom and pop, that we have to be even more tight on our stuff.
Mm-hmm.
All of our T's have to be crossed. All our I's have to be dotted. So we have to be comfort-proof. We have to be more trained up than everybody else, mm-hmm. you know, because we're gonna be the people that are going to go into these urban cities to do this work. And that's not saying that anybody from a different demographic or ethnic background isn't, you know?
Right.
Because we have phenomenal individuals, with a multicultural staff
Absolutely.
Here that does mm-hmm. great work, you know what I'm saying? But being that it's at the leadership and ownership of a Black person, Black people, and which then they would deem our whole organization as a Black organization,
right, right.
Which I think we're way more diverse than that, but
mm-hmm,
cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we have to be that much more on point.
Absolutely.
You know, yep. we have to build an institution and not just an individual, you know?
Well, you know, I'm sure your mom told you this too when we were growing up. You know, you have to, you know, be twice as smart and work twice as hard than your counterparts. Yeah. And so I think that that's what we see in BTSC.
And honestly, that's where we are at BTSC. And it's not, the counterpart doesn't have to be somebody from a different ethnic background. Right. I want to be twice as hard, twice as better than everybody we provide against. Like, I have friends that own other organizations just like we have. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But my goal is to be the best.
Right.
It doesn't mean that they have to be the worst. Our goal is just to be the best. And, you know, what we do, it has no reflection on them, but I'm going to make sure that I work twice as hard.
Right. So you have been enlightened today by Chris Simon, the CEO of BTST Services, and we hope that you have a broader understanding of what we do at BTST, a broader appreciation of what we do through BTST Cares, and if you need an organization to support, don't forget about BTST Cares. So until next time, we appreciate you tuning in to BTST's podcast, Meeting You Where You Are, and we just hope to see you next time.